Shot Clayton. 1, 2. Can everybody hear me? As I said, so wonderful to be back with you. We were in Taiwan for the last 2 weekends, working into a church there, New Heart Church, which I think Lara already unpacked. So awesome to have a team with us. Last week it was just Lisa and I. I don't know where my wife has gone, but it was Lisa and I. Spirit for there, baby. And this time we had a team with us, which was absolutely wonderful, man. We had Jaco and Greta, they're part of Warmer PM, and we had Lisa Fantonda, who heads up the Altitude Ladies. She's in Warmer AM, thought so. And then Laura as well, which was absolutely awesome, our very own Laura. And the team did so well, really just poured out their lives, were ready for anything. There were some things that was like, hey, Lisa, can we wrap you in toilet paper and have you come walk in? Because I want to, you know, and that story is actually where Lazarus comes out the tomb. He's alive. His spirit is alive. But he's still tied up from his grave clothes. And it's a picture of salvation. We come out, our spirits are alive, but in our soul and in our, we still got fear and we got doubts and we got all kinds of stuff that wrap us. We got things that have happened to us that we need to be discipled, hey. We got to be sanctified. And so what I was saying is Jesus actually, as Lazarus comes wobbling out the thing, all tied up over his eyes, he can't see. And then Jesus says, unbind him and set him free. And then basically I just preached around that, is that we are called each other to unbind each other. Every one of us are called to disciple. We're called to make disciples and to help each other come into greater places of freedom. Anyway, I'm not preaching on that, but the team had to be ready for anything. I'm like, hey, can you do it? She was going to do it on the Sunday. Then it was like, didn't happen Sunday, so Wednesday, okay. And but also even just the impact of the team being with the guys, various outreaches in the homes, the hosts were just singing the praises of the team that were just being hosted among them. It was just absolutely amazing. We were hosted super well. We got to eat all kinds of weird food. Actually, we had a hot pot on the Sunday, and there were some things I recognized. I was like, I recognize this from last time. I'm not touching that. Like coagulated pig's blood that's like mixed into like a jelly type stuff. I was like, I remember I had that last time. It's like, let's put that aside. But the food was actually amazing. We loved it. It's a proper different culture, eh? It's not like we go to England and then they've still got like, you know, you're eating similar food. You know what I mean? It's like proper, everything's with rice and but we absolutely loved it, man. Steve and Sarah are doing well. They're very close friends of Lisa and I. They were like second parents to our children growing up. They're very, very close friends of ours. And when they planted, it was like tears, goodbye. But it's been so awesome to be able to go over there for the last 2 years. And we're listening up for next year, because next year we'll probably go again. But the church is doing well. They've had a whole lot of like new Taiwanese people join, and they've had this awesome couple join called Jorman and Daphne, who Lisa Fantonda got to stay with. And they've got 2 children, Diego and Jabez. Daphne's the mom. And Phoebe, yeah, sorry, 3 children and Phoebe. And they're just the most awesome kids, man. And Jabez has autism. He would literally in our meetings be sitting with a screen watching things, and when he had to be, and I got a couple of high fives from him, I'd be like, Jabez, and he'd be like, and I'd be like, and he'd go, then he'd carry on with what he was doing, and they just love that boy, hey. It's been incredible just to see also how they have just felt this is who God has given them. They love that boy, I've got so many stories I could tell. I want to try and weave in a few, like maybe some testimonies that we heard from people's lives when we were there. We also got to go for a ride around a lake called Sun Moon Lake. It's smack bang in the middle of Taiwan. I see Lindy smiling. I don't know if you guys, when you were there, beautiful, eh? It's turquoise lake in the middle of this jungle, and we did a 30K cycle on e-bikes. So uphill, we could like, and then like ride up, like it would like the motor would take us up hills and things like that. Except Steve, he was not on an e-bike. So he was sickling. But we got to see. I mean, it's a beautiful country, hey? Taiwan, they got a lot of problems in the country. But the church is going strong. I mean, I was just amazed. We got this South African guy. Okay, and his wife is Taiwanese. Sarah's Taiwanese. She actually did some of the interpreting for me. And Daphne as well. Not Daphne, Nancy. the other eldership couple, Peter and Nancy. Peter's an American guy from Chicago. Yeah. Let me not go there. And married to this other Taiwanese lady, Nancy, who also did some interpreting for me, and she was actually great. She would, I could even hear where she was because she was like, she was getting passionate like me. She would be like, yeah, and then I could hear, she'd say something that I said, you know, I'll say something that's funny and nobody laughs. And then she will interpret it and then they laugh. I'm like, ah, okay, they understood, you know. So it's, yeah, it's a bit of getting used to that as well. You got to shorten everything because everything's getting said twice. So you preach 20 minutes, it's 40 minutes, you know what I mean? So you got to, the test, everything, you've got to shorten, pick a lane. But yeah, I'm trying to think what else. Lev, do you want to quick, do you want to say anything? Like a minute, 2 minutes quick.
Yeah, it was absolutely amazing to build on what, on when we were there the last time and to see how they've, since that point, from when we went there last time and what the Lord has done in their hearts and even like the connections that were already there, we were so grateful because we could go deeper so quickly. And I just felt the Lord in, like they, in Taiwanese culture, your home is very sacred. So they actually meet in restaurants. And so hosting someone's actually a big step. But while we were then having the team was so amazing, everyone, there were so many individuals that said, next time I'm hosting. And just, yeah, just that change happening, yeah, was just amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, I mean, last time we went there, you could feel there were like offenses and things in the church, and I ended up preaching into that. And this year, the elders have done so well just dealing with things. It was just a different atmosphere, clean atmosphere in the church. Unity, guys with the leaders moving actually together. They've released a deacon now. Johnny is a deacon. Last year, I actually from the front, I said, Johnny, you got leadership on your life. Stephen Dedler, they've released him now as a deacon. There's another, I did a leadership training time. Like it was actually a potential elders training time on the Monday night. But I kind of broadened it and just taught into the heart of a leader as well. And that, and yeah, it's just awesome to see them thinking like, hey, raising up leaders to be able to carry and be able to care for God's people and specifically elders and shepherds, you know. And then deacons, I actually think they need, they've actually got awesome, there's an awesome lady there. Esther, who was with us, she literally, anyway, let me, she was with us at everything. And when she sat, I remember sitting there on the Thursday night, Lisa shared her testimony with an unsaved group. And in Taiwan, well, she shared and then Sarah actually interpreted and Esther was with us. Well, we're meeting with this group. She was at everything and she was sitting there. She started to speak like Chinese, you know. She was like, ya ya ching chong wong niao. She was like hoing. I didn't even know what she was saying, but I was sitting there going, yo, yes. Like, I was like nodding because I could like almost feel the anointing. I could feel the passion on her she was sharing. And so I'm like nodding along. I don't even know what she's saying. And I just know this must be good, eh? Because this must be good. And I think she's also like a deaconess for the future there. So it's just wonderful, man, just to see. When they got there, there was nobody. It was Steve, Sarah, and Evie. And now they, what, about 50, 60? Okay, on the Sundays, there was like some guys that weren't there, but they're probably about, what, 50, 60, I think, total. And that wasn't there before. They got... Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible what the Lord is doing. I really think the Lord has also just grown the maturity of the church. They're getting ready for growth and expansion, you know. So wonderful being there, man. As I said, thanks so much for releasing us into that. And one of the big things that the Lord just spoke to me about while we were there, and just that I could see and in my interacting with people, and just hit me while I was there again. As I was just sitting, listening to people sharing their stories and being among the people, watching people worshiping the Lord and hearing how God has impacted people's lives is the thing that really hit me is how much God loves the nations. God loves the lost. God, I mean, while we were there, there were people coming in that weren't born again. We did outreaches. That just again, like just people coming. How much God loves the lost. He wants to reach them. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. that the Holy Spirit, the red hot focus of the Holy Spirit is actually evangelism. It's the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us properly, and as we're walking in the Spirit, he's going to lead us to share the gospel with people. Because that's what the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will come on you and he will give you power to be my witnesses. So the Holy Spirit comes on us to give us power to be his witnesses, not to have nice feelings and have nice little car meetings and go home and live our lives and let all the poofy sinners go to hell. The Holy Spirit causes us to carry love for the lost, love for the world, love for the nations, because God loves the nations. And we are his hands and feet. The Bible says God has placed all things under the feet of Jesus for the church, not so that we can all have nice introspective Sundays, study each other's belly buttons and lay hands on each other till we go bald. And oh, we've had an awesome Sunday and we just get on. God wants to reach Summer Strand. He wants to reach South Africa. He wants to reach Taiwan. He wants to reach the nations, the lost. That's why Jesus came. And I've got an awesome scripture. I'm going to read to this just now. But it just hit me that God loves us so much. God is so into the detail of our lives. We might think, oh, God, you're out there. You're so supreme. You're holding all of the universe together. All the stars are obeying your commands, everything. And you know, how can you even be aware of my little financial problem? How can you be aware? And we're just realizing God loves us, man. He loves every detail of our lives. He cares for us, you know. And I was so struck by the Lord's tenderness and redemption in so many people we encountered. There's this one girl that Lisa and I were chatting with on we met her last year. In fact, it's the girl you were asking about just now. But she, as we started to chat with her, she started to share about how broken she was before Jesus. And how life was in such a mess. I mean, Lisa spent more time with her than I kind of stepped in and was listening and talking. And I was just like getting impacted by what the Lord has done. Just sharing about how lost she was and things that had happened to her. Things that were said to her that put her into darkness, into bondage, into slavery. And how she found herself in a very dark place. And we were talking, talking about, like, even the demonic, like, being, yeah, attacking her and being even out of her mind at times and just in a very, very dark place. In a very real sense, she was, like, in the shadow of death and despair. She was, like, there's just, like, no hope. She's in a place of complete hopelessness. And as you listen to her as she shares, seemingly out of nowhere, it's like she can barely call out to God. Barely call out to God, eh? And Jesus steps into her life. And everything changes. You got to hear this story, man. She suddenly felt hope for the first time in so many years. She felt like a hope. Oh, maybe there's hope for me. Like, maybe there's some way out of this place of despair. Maybe there's something, maybe my life could mean something. You know what I mean? She felt hope for the first time as she called on the Lord and Jesus stepped in, and as she walked with him, as she got plugged into church, as she submitted to the processes of God in her life, surrendered to him, he rescued her. He literally rescued her. We don't know where she'd be. I mean, it's the same with my life. I think I'd be in prison now if it wasn't for Jesus. Because I was getting involved with a gang before I got born again. And Jesus rescued me, you know what I mean? But Jesus rescued her. He redeemed her. The light of Jesus came into her world. And she started to see herself the way Jesus sees her. And she just got filled with hope. And God led her into a place of peace. A place of wholeness. A place of joy. It's incredible. And every one of us have that testimony, eh? In differing degrees, you know, where we were lost, we were stuck in darkness, stuck in slavery, our lives were going nowhere. We were actually on our way to hell. Jesus, because of his great love, Jesus steps in and he saves us. And as I listen to her, I'm going, she didn't deserve his love. She didn't deserve his tenderness towards her. And yet Jesus steps into her life. Jesus focuses some of his, well, focuses his resources on her, focuses his attention on her, And as she's in this place of rebellion against God and just lostness, whatever, Jesus reaches down on her. And pulls her out, focuses his energy onto her life and pulls her out of the pit of darkness and saves her, rescued her, redeemed her. She had no chance. And I just was going, Jesus, oh, you love us, Lord. You love us, Lord. And she's still in process, you know. If you listen to her, she's still in process. I mean, Lisa spoke some things into her life, and we spoke some things. Us men said some things to her, just summing of things we see the Lord doing in her. But everything has changed. Everything has changed for her. She is different, man. And 3 years ago, she wouldn't even have been there. Or what, 4 years ago? 3 years ago. 3 years ago, she wouldn't even have been like with us. She wouldn't have come to anything. Now she was at everything. And she's living with a hope and a joy and a purpose that she will tell you is all because of Jesus. And we just heard these testimonies of what God is doing in Taiwan. He's doing the same thing here among us. He's doing the same things all over the world. He's changing people's lives. And the title of my message this morning, and that is part of it. So don't get nervous now that we're starting. But it's Jesus, the sunrise of God. Jesus is the sunrise of God. This is something the Lord, I've been on this scripture for about 3 weeks now, and I just can't get past Luke 1. I'm just stuck on Luke 1. I mean, Luke 1 starts off and he talks about, you know, Zechariah and his division. It says that he was serving in the temple when his division of the priesthood, priestly division, was on duty. And he was assigned a task to go and burn incense in there. And it just made me think about our communities. You know, in your community, when your division, when your priestly, you know what I mean, are on duty serving in the temple, we're on. It's biblical, you know? And we're serving. And anyway, but just towards the end, I've been stuck on this thing. And it's funny enough, it's so interesting. If this week, Brad actually shared as well. Like, he's also been reading that scripture. And I was like, whoa. And I need to just share a little bit about this, man. And Jesus, the sunrise of God. He's the sunrise of God. And many of us have a similar story to this girl, right? And we've had dark periods in our lives. You know, we're serving Jesus, everything's going well, and suddenly we're in like financial trouble, we're in darkness. Or suddenly we're in work pressure where it's just the things get dark, hey? Or we go into relational stuff, like we get hurt by somebody and we find ourselves in like a dark place. We feel like we're in despair. And Jesus is the sunrise over our dark places. And Israel found themselves in this place, just before Jesus was to come, Israel was kind of in this place of oppression and darkness, actually, under Roman rule, where Rome was oppressing Israel, and they couldn't, they weren't free. And they had had about 400 years of silence, where none of the prophets were prophesying, there'd been no word of the Lord for 400 years. Before that, like, you've got Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, your Haggai, Hosea, you've got all these prophets that are just prophesying. Then suddenly Haggai, boom, last one, 400 years. And they're kind of in this place of going, God, where are you? We're in this dark place. We're under oppression. The whole world was under darkness, eh? The Bible says, in bondage and slavery to sin. But in this context, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, because then Luke goes on and he writes about the angel Gabriel appearing to Zechariah, saying, you will have a child, your wife Elizabeth. Elizabeth was old. You think this just happened to Moses and Sarah. This happened to Zechariah and Elizabeth. She was old. She was barren. She couldn't have children. And the angel comes to Zechariah and says, your wife will have a child and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. And he says, because you didn't have faith, you're not going to be able to speak. He was struck mute until the baby was born. Well, yeah. And then in this context, Zechariah, John the Baptist is born and he can speak. And then he, under the power of the Spirit, he begins to prophesy. And listen to what he says here in Luke 1, verse 76 to 79. It says, and his father Zechariah, talking about John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And as now he's prophesying about the future, because John the Baptist was to prepare the way for Jesus. And so he's prophesying, going, he's visited us and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from on old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And Israel obviously thought that saving us from the hand of our enemies was going to be saving us from the hand of Rome, eh? Giving them a deliverance. But actually, he was saving them from their enemy, the devil, and of sin, out of their sin. He was coming to win that battle, the battle of battles. And then he says, he speaks to John the Baptist. He says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Listen to this. To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. And then listen to this. Whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Jesus is called the sunrise. The sunrise shall visit us from on high. Why? To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. And guys, I'm telling you, as we were talking to people in Taiwan, as we've been encountering here among us, Jesus is the sunrise in our lives. Jesus is the one that has brought us out of darkness, and he's guided our feet in paths of peace, into places of peace. Even in the midst of storms, eh? And it's such a beautiful description of Jesus, that he is the sunrise. And he's the sunrise of God, sent to a world stuck in darkness. Isaiah 60, I went through this, guys. I could preach a series on this for the next few months. So I'm literally picking a line. But he also says, arise, shine. He's prophesying to the church. Arise, shine, for your light has come. He's prophesying to us, the church. Church, arise, man. Shine. Don't get stuck in darkness and in despair and anxiety and worry, because Jesus has come. Your light has come. It says darkness will cover the earth. Great darkness will be over the people. Do we see that in the world today? There's darkness out there. The world is not getting better. It's getting worse, eh? But then he says this. He says, but the glory of the Lord will arise over you. And kings and nations will come to the brightness of your rising. As we rise, there's going to be a brightness of Jesus, the sunrise of Jesus over the church to a world in darkness. And it says that many are going to come. Sons and daughters will come with their mothers will come with their children and come to the Lord. And he says, and then your hearts will throb and swell with joy. Because of the sunrise. Guys, Jesus coming. It's the most significant, most powerful, most life-changing, transformative thing the planet has ever seen. The world doesn't know it. They're hoying with their job and money and politics and wars and whatever's going on in Iran and all this stuff, and God is directing all of history towards the climax and consummation of the ages, where everything will get wrapped up in Jesus and he'll come again for his people. Hey, amen. So I want to say a couple of things, man, about the sunrise. I'm actually just going to say two things. I had a whole lot about the sunrise, but I thought, you know what, we'll be here all day. So firstly, the sunrise. When I sat and I thought about a sunrise, we love sunrises. Lisa and I, when we're on holiday, often we'll take our children. Now we're on the east. So we can see the sunrise, not the sunset. Yeah, so we'll have the sunrise coming up through our thing. But we love sitting on a beach and watching the sun coming up over the water. One of my favorite things is sitting in the surf. Those who surf would know this. Being in the water by 4 o'clock in the morning, sort of 4:15, and you're sitting on the water, dolphins all around, and the sun starts to peek, boink, over the sunrise. You're sitting, it's a bit dark, and then the sun starts to come up, and you're surfing to the sun coming up. And I love sunrises, and as I sat and thought about a sunrise, the first thing is that a sunrise is powerful. Jesus coming was a powerful moment. And
Friends, no matter how dark the night, no matter how thick the darkness may seem, no matter how powerful the darkness may seem, it cannot overpower the sunrise. It has no choice. The darkness has to retreat. As that sun appears, the darkness has to disappear. Amen. And there's nothing darkness can do. When Israel was in Egypt, in slavery, and so on, this is a picture, like a type of the Christian. Before he gets born again, he's in slavery and bondage. And then Moses is a type of Jesus. If you do T3, you'll learn about types and anti-types. And Moses is a type of Jesus. And he's sent as a deliverer to Israel, which is a type of Jesus being sent as the deliverer for the whole world. And what happens is they're stuck in darkness. They're in it, and it's heavy. It's been 400 years, similar to our Israel. Yeah, it's quite interesting. 400 years under Egyptian rule, beaten, brutalized, darkness, slavery, anxiety, and then the sunrise. The sunrise. Moses being the type of God, but God, through Moses, he delivers them. He sets us free. And there is nothing Egypt could do. God sent Moses to say, let my people go. And the Pharaoh was like, no. And he said, okay, first, you know, plague. And then Moses comes again, let my people go, God says. And Pharaoh's like, no. He says, okay, next plague. And God systematically, through all the plagues, when you study it, he tore down every one of the Egyptian gods, every one of their main gods, through what God actually did with the plagues, is he undermined them. He showed that the God of Israel is more powerful than your gods. And at the end of it, Egypt had no choice. There was nothing they could do to stop God delivering his people. The sunrise was going to push that darkness back, whether they like it or not. And he had to let them go. And even when they were let go, he went after them. And he thought, all right, I've made a mistake. I'm going to catch Israel. I'm going to bring them back to be slaves. And God says, all right, I've got more abundantly far above all you could think, ask, or imagine. And he parts the Red Sea. And they go through like the waters of baptism. Go through the Red Sea. That's why baptism, friends, is so important. Your salvation, I mean, you're born again. If you die and you haven't been baptized, but you gave your life to Jesus, you'll go to heaven. You've got the guy next to Jesus on the cross. He didn't have a chance to get baptized. He was in paradise. But it's something of your salvation's left unfinished. The Bible says, repent and be baptized. And Israel went through the waters of baptism, and the enemy was wiped out behind them. They came into just the destiny of the promised land. And the sunrise had risen upon them. There's nothing. Israel did nothing. What did Israel do? They just followed Jesus. Oh, thank you. And then he leads them by fire by night and a cloud by day. Guys, the sunrise is powerful, man. It dispels darkness. With the sunrise comes hope. No matter what you're facing, no matter how dark your circumstances may seem, Jesus is the sunrise. He's the hope that can change anything. This girl was in a place that seemingly seemed like impossible. How do I get out of this? Yeah, we were listening to so many testimonies where Jesus came in as a sunrise and just changed everything. He led them, like that scripture said, he led them out of darkness. It says there, the sunrise shall visit us from high to give light to those who sit in darkness. If you're sitting in darkness today, you're sitting in a hard place, you feel like you're in the valley of death, the shadow of death, Jesus can come and break the darkness over your life. He can come as a sunrise and dispel darkness and bring joy, bring hope, and he can lead you into a place of peace and breakthrough. Amen. Amen. Isn't that like awesome news, eh? Jesus can do anything, anything. Israel, there was nothing. Egypt was way more powerful than them. They were slaves. There's nothing they could do. God delivered them, just like he delivered us and continues to deliver us from our own stuff, continues to unwrap us, continues to remove the fears and doubt as we walk with him, as we surrender to him. He continues to change us, to bring us into greater places of peace and wholeness and joy, but also vision and purpose and front-footedness and fearlessness. That we get to know God so well that we can stand in Colosseums, like the early church, where they're telling you, deny Jesus or you're going to die. And they're going, we can't deny Jesus, we won't. And he says, well, then you're going to die. He says, well, then let our bodies be used for the seed, as seed for the gospel. Fearless, standing there. Lions are released.
And they're standing in the thing. Everybody's wanting them to run around in fear, but they stand there fearless, singing hymns as lions pounce on them and eat them. Guys standing before, you know, a Roman prefix, Epaphras. Is it Epaphras? No, what's his name? Antipas. Standing there, and the Roman prefect says, do you know all of Rome is against you? The whole world, he says, the whole world is against you. And he's Antipas like, well, then Antipas is against the whole world because I'm for Jesus. And they boil a bird, they bake him alive in a golden calf and dying. But he's fear, he's like, he's found peace. He's seen the sunrise. He's like, I'm living for that. Hey? That sunrise had changed his life. And the disciples learned this, man. Hey? They learned that with Jesus, nothing is over. Nothing is the end. It's like nothing is done, you know? Nothing's beyond saving. You might feel like, man, I'm in a situation that's beyond saving. I don't know what I could do. It's so hard. Jesus is the sunrise. That's what Luke is saying, and God is saying. Yeah, I mean, in the midst of a terrible storm, the disciples and Jesus are sailing on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm, which is a demonic storm actually, came up because Jesus was on his way to drive out the legion from that guy in the caves, eh? And they knew Jesus was coming, so there's a storm going on. And Jesus is sleeping in the boat. Disciples are fighting the waves, they're getting overrun, the boat's like going to sink. And in the midst of what seemed to be inevitable, it's like we're going to drown. Jesus stands up in the midst of that storm and says, be still. And boom, everything dies down. Jesus can stand up in the middle of our darkest storms and say, be still. He can bring us into a place of safety and wholeness. Doesn't mean that all our circumstances are necessarily going to change, because those same disciples, one was crucified upside down, one was beheaded. But the thing is, what they started to see is that I'm not living for this life. I'm living for that life. But in that moment, the tenderness of Jesus was towards them. And he saved them, rescued them from, in that moment, from what would have actually consumed them. Hey? Jesus can stand up in the midst of our lives and say, be still, storm. Be still, devil, from your plans and purposes. The disciples learned this with Jesus. Peter in rough seas, eh? Rough seas, storm going around them. He steps out of boat. In faith in Jesus, steps out of boat and starts to walk on the water. He actually did that, eh? He actually did that. He does it. He walks upon the storm and he walks upon the water and then he takes his eyes off Jesus, as so many times we do, hey? We take our eyes off Jesus. Life gets hard, lose our job. Somebody in our family dies. We find out we've got like a debilitating sickness or disease, or our finances don't come through for varsity, or like a storm comes up and we take our eyes off Jesus and we see. We start to look at that and fear comes into us. And actually, we begin to sink in the midst of that dark place. And what I love about Jesus, he doesn't go, you see, you took your eyes off of me. So you just sink in your mess, man, and like walk away. You know what I mean? He doesn't do that. In mercy, he goes to Peter, he says, may I help you? Boom, pulls him out. And if we'd reach out to the Lord in the midst of our stuff, he is the sunrise, man. He is the one that will pull us out of our, sometimes our self-induced messes, hey? And, just the tender heart of Jesus. What about actual provision, eh? The sunrise is powerful. What about provision? Jesus teaching the disciples, like nothing is beyond the Lord. He's sitting there, he's got all these 5,000 men and their families. So it's 5,000 men, but then there's still their wives and their children. So we don't actually know how many there were. There could have been 10, 15, 20,000 people. We don't know. And they're sitting there, and they're getting hungry. And the disciples say to Jesus, hey, man, can you just send them into Spa or to Checkers to please go and buy some food? Because we don't have. And Jesus says, no, you feed them. You can see, saying, have you learned yet? We've gone through a bunch of stuff. Let's see if have you learned what I've been trying to teach you, that I, with me, nothing is impossible. And the disciples go, they haven't learned. They go, what must we do? We don't have food. And Jesus says, well, what do you have? And he says, well, we've got these two fish and five loaves. That's all we've got. And he says, well, bring me what you have. Sometimes we've got to bring Jesus the little faith we have, eh? Sometimes we've got to bring Jesus what we have in our hands. That's not enough. This is not going to get us through this thing.
And Jesus takes what's in our hands and Jesus teaches them how and he multiplies and actually does exceedingly abundantly above what they actually needed. There's 12 baskets left over and everybody eats. And the sunrise again in that place of uncertainty and what are we going to do here? He breaks through and teaches them, nothing is impossible with me. If you just believe. How many times did Jesus say that to his disciples? If you just believe, you'll speak to this mountain and tell it to go. He says, are you of little faith? Just have faith, man. Hey? Amen. And Jesus pulled coins out of fish's mouths for crying out loud. I mean, hey, pay taxes. Yeah, just get the fish here. Just take a coin out of its mouth and pay. Jesus can do anything, man. Yo, Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches, not your riches, his riches. And in glory in Christ Jesus. To his riches. What is God's riches? He owns everything. So as we move, there's so many. So I wanna just do the second one really, really quickly, because there's also testimonies of God's actual provision in so many places. And in Lara, Greta and Daphne, Lisa van Tonde, provision. There was a girl in Taiwan, Lynn, who's one of the worship leaders. She decided to go to the 412 conference in Australia, and she can't actually afford it. And she actually can't afford it. She can't take work, but she just did it in faith, going, God, I'm going to trust you. You can do the impossible. And he did. He provided. It's actually amazing. If you hear a testimony, the Lord gave her more than what she had before because she took that step of faith. Guys, what can the Lord do with our faith, eh? As we bring it to him and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to push through. And then secondly, and I'll end with this. Try and do it in about 5 minutes. Is the sunrise, first one is the sunrise is powerful. Secondly, the sunrise is tender. It's gentle. The sunrise is different to the noonday sun, eh? None of us want to be on the beach when it's 40 degrees at 12 o'clock because that's like it's harsh rays. You need suntan lotion. Unless the black guys among us, I always say to them, you guys have got better skin than us whiteys, eh? Because you guys don't need suntan lotion like we do. Our skin is not like yours, man. We need suntan lotion factor 150, you know, on us to try and help us when we... But the sunrise, it's gentle. It's a gentle rays of the Lord, hey? It's a softness to it. And he says, Weber, it says that if you read in Luke 1, where it says that John the Baptist would give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of sins because of the tender mercy of God. I love that. Not just mercy of God. Like, I'm going to show you mercy. It's the tender mercy of God. And it says, whereby, because of his tender mercy, the reason he's sending the sunrise is because of his tenderness towards us, his tender mercies towards us. He's going to send Jesus. And the power of the cross, man, is just such a beautiful picture of that. It's more powerful than any sin that we've ever actually committed. The cross speaks a better word. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word than any sin that you've ever committed. The law stood against us, the Bible teaches, because of our sin, and that we were under judgment. We carried shame and condemnation and guilt because of our sin. And then the sunrise comes in tender mercy, and he brings forgiveness of sin, hey? And he pays the price that we should have paid. And he and the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from all sin. There's nothing you've done that is beyond saving, beyond the blood of Jesus. Nothing. And when Jesus comes, the Bible says he rescued us from our sin. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. And if you read in Colossians 2:13-15, I just want to give you a little bit of Bible as well. It says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, darkness, slavery, bondage, helplessness, despair. You were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. It says, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, the charge that was against us of our sin, says, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The blood of Jesus is more powerful
and can cleanse you from whatever sin you're stuck in. It can set you free. The Bible says, by his wounds we are healed. What Jesus did at the cross is power. What was released at the cross, forgiveness of sin, healing, righteousness, holiness, power, grace, the grace of God. The ability to come into his presence. The Bible says we come into the most holy place that only a priest could go in once a year. Through the body of Jesus, hey? We can enter in. And now every one of us can come into that place which only the high priest could go once a year. We all have free access because of Jesus. So Jesus dealt severely and powerfully with the consequence of our sins. And then Luke tells us that it was because of his tender mercy towards you and me. There's a tenderness in God towards you. The word tender here is the Greek word splankon. What's splanknon? Splanknon. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but splanknon. And it speaks of affection, deep affection and compassion. It's like having your bowels move, not in the bad way. But that's what it says in... But it's like feeling a groaning, like a longing, a yearning for us. There's a deep compassion that God carries in our hearts towards us. He loves you. He's tender towards you. He feels things for you, man. Hey? When you're hurting, he's hurting. When you he knows we dust. He knows we struggle. He knows. He's the one. The Bible says he's the lifter of our heads. He's the one that lifts our heads. He is our sunrise in our dark place, you know? It speaks of the affection, compassion, kindness of God, and that it's what God feels towards us. And and for me, when I look at that sunrise, it's like a gentle, patiently introducing the world, eh, to the sunlight. It's like a patient waking up of the world. It's not like boom, you know, like when you've slept too late and the curtains go open, and it's like like my children do sometimes when they sleep late on a Saturday morning. But God deals kindly with us. And I'll end with this, just the scripture. Romans 2:4, it says, "And do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" And maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus or you don't know him. And the Bible teaches us that God is tender towards you. That it's the tender mercy of God towards you that caused him to send Jesus, the great sunrise of the world, to bring you out of your place of darkness and bondage and to bring you into a place of light and of joy and of freedom and wholeness and purpose and vision. And that it's his kindness towards you as he shows that kindness to you, not dealing with you as you deserve, because we all deserve to go to hell. Mercy is withholding what we deserve. He shows us mercy. And he desires for you to be born again, to come into relationship with him. And we'll have an opportunity just now. Psalm 69 verse 16 says, "Hear me, O Lord, for your loving..." This is David writing. "Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good." Your loving kindness, love that. "Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies." Even in the Old Testament, God hasn't changed. David knew God and he said, "Deal with me according to your tender mercies." Hey? Beautiful, man.